Here's some good friends of ours who are down in Keene, aren't you now? In New Hampshire, in Keene. Good to see you. Okay, well, I am speaking on community, or put the first, if you want a title, Love Makes Community. That's what I want to speak about. If you remember that we're actually going through a series about biblical values. Value is something that we cherish. Values is something we fight for. Values we want to see persist forever, because values is something that is worth dying for. And one of the things that you hear, like you heard this morning from those people, is values, is community, sorry. How important and expressing community in a real way. Would you go to the first picture for me? Okay. Here is a picture of where I used to live. It's called Edendale Rest Home. It's actually a nursing home. And throughout my teen years, I actually lived in a nursing home. My mum and dad were rest home proprietors. And we used to live, if you can follow my finger over that way, we used to live on the top floor. And when I was a young teenager, I had the job of actually painting that house inside and another house we bought. That's number 6, the green, and we bought number 5, the green. And so I was given the job, took me 18 months to do it, but to paint them, because we were going to sell them, and my mum and dad were going to retire in Spain. That was the idea, anyway, of things. But this is where we live. It's a nursing home. We bought it in 1976. It's a very old 1900s Victorian house. It was so old, it wasn't lived in for years, and it took 3 days to burn all the flooring, I remember. As a boy, I got it all together, put it in the back garden, and burn it. And it took 3 days to burn. It was so old. You could roll up the dust in it. You could, like a carpet. That's how it was not lived in at all. My mum, who's got a big heart, a big, compassionate woman, always felt a passion and a desire to look after the elderly, and which she did. She did very well, worn herself out. As I spoke to her yesterday, I said, "You gave yourself so much, you worn yourself out, didn't you, mum?" She said, "Yep." I said, "Now you know you've not had to wear yourself out by keep being filled with Jesus, and then you can give out." And there's all sorts of people that lived there. We had about 38 residents that we looked after. And they were a mixed bunch of people, believe me. Some of the stories that came out of those houses will make your toes curl. We had the elderly, but you also had the mentally ill. We had some people who, I remember a lady called Violet, and she was a very intelligent woman. She was a double agent in the war, believe it or not. And so even though she's completely senile, she's still speaking German. And she's speaking German everywhere. I mean, all day, 24/7, she's speaking German everywhere. There was another man named Sam, and he was a firefighter. And we used to catch him in the middle of the night with his flash torch doing SOS things outside the window. He said, "Sam, get back to bed." We had a mixed bunch of people. We had colonels in there from the British Army. We had some real just characters. We had one guy, his name, I can't remember his name. He was a minesweeper in the Second World War. He was a comic. He never left his. He carried on the sailor until the day he died, and he used to tease all the elderly. I remember the popular one he used to do. He used to get a live cigarette and put it in someone else's pocket and run away. I can't remember his name, but he was a funny one. There was another guy. His name was David Willett. David Willett, at a very young age, the age of 21, it was around his birthday, his 21st birthday. And David, who wasn't very well, was put into a hospital called Hellingley Hospital, which is just outside, about a 40-minute drive from Hastings, my old city. And in a Hellingnai hospital, it's for mentally ill people. David stayed in there for about 30, 35, 40 years. And we had some vacancies in one of our rooms, so we would go and look at some of the hospitals who we think will be appropriate to go into our nursing home. David was one of those people. David came in, quite a large guy, bald head, and he was very severely institutionalized, if I can put it that way. Everything of his life, his whole routine, was right to the time, right to the minute. So as I remember him, he was really loved. He loved us. I remember about every single day he used to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He used to say it every day, thank you. He was one of those guys who loved soccer. And every Saturday afternoon, on almost every single channel on British TV, there is a soccer game happening. And so David would be one of those guys. Every 5 minutes, he would go from the front room where the television is and come where we are, climb up the stairs, go into our apartment, and a knock on the door says, it's still 0-0, no one's scored yet. And he'd go all the way back downstairs again, and then 5 minutes' time, he'd be back up there. And a whole 90 minutes might go by, and it might be 0-0, and he still says, hey, it's finished, no one scored. Thanks, David. He's just one of those guys. He's very routine guy. He had a set of clothes for every single day of the week. Everything. When it was mealtime, he was there. When it's bedtime, he was asleep. When he woke up, it was dead on, whatever it was. Well, I remember one Monday morning, the staff were running pretty late. And it's bath time for everyone and all sorts of things. The staff are busy. And I remember for David that there was two couple of halls, Victoria, there's a couple of open lobbies. And I remember David was pacing up and down. And he said, I want my bath. I want my bath now. We're late. We're late. We're late. And he was really, he's getting himself really stewed up a lot because it wasn't on time and it shouldn't be happening. And my bath time is whatever it is. I don't know, 8 o'clock or whatever it is. And he got himself in such a stew that actually what happened was is that right in the middle of the hall, he suddenly collapsed. And he had a massive heart attack. And we called paramedics, and it was my mum and my sister, Susie, who were very quickly to get hold of David and just embrace him with their arms. And they knew that he wasn't going to make it. And his last words was this. And he said to my sister, he just said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. I love you. Will you please kiss me? Someone kiss me. And that's what my sister did. And kissed me on the cheek. And then he just died. No longer anymore. David knew that in that place, that was his community. He was loved. It was so different from whatever he's ever experienced really in his whole life, to be honest. He knew he was loved, he was cared for, and he knew he was safe as well. I want to talk about community. I want to talk about the atmosphere of community, that love is what makes a good, solid, strong, safe community. Now, we know in the book of Acts, the early church, we know the things that are happening, the activities for that church. There was the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, had everything in common, selling possessions, gave whoever had a need. They broke bread and all these things that are happening. But what was the reason? What was the key thing that made all this happen and persistently happen and the activity of what they were doing daily? I just want to look at some of the motive of that. It is love, but I want to get under the skin with that. So if you have your Bibles, then turn to John's Gospel. If you don't, it should be on the PowerPoint, and I will read these 10 verses to you. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 7 to 17. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them in, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Let's just quickly pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these next few minutes that we have the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, come and be our teacher and be our counselor and make your word known to us, whether it's the first time we've heard it or for the thousandth time we've heard it. Lord, we pray by your Holy Spirit, come and reveal to us, Lord, what you need to speak to us about, that we may act on it and be more like you. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to just unfold a couple of things about community, how important community is to us, and the motive of love that it means to us to hold a community together and keep a community looking healthy and growing and nourished within itself. Context here, Jesus often traveling and teaching while he's traveling. Here, he's actually speaking to some of his disciples, but the majority would have been Jews and Pharisees. Pharisees are religious people who very care about the law, very care about the out things of what you believe in, and their good thing that they're good at was this in Jesus' day, is that to try and trick people. And obviously try to trick Jesus as well. So Jesus is speaking to this type of audience. Jesus is speaking about the sheep, shepherds, sheep pens. It would have been a very common thing for houses in our day. I think of 109 Varney Road where I live. There would have been a sheep pen next to it. That would have been my food and my milk and my cereal every day. That was the common thing that would you have. No shores, no market basket, or anything like that. It was your sheep you had to look after. And so he was talking in the picture language of the context within his day about sheep and shepherds and sheep pens. And he's really saying about one shepherd, one flock, meaning this is what happens within one community, in a Christian community. What's really helpful and important is that a few verses earlier, Jesus talks about those who want to come in. He says, "I am the door." Jesus said these words, controversial words for today, "I am the only way, the only life, and the only truth." How single-minded is that in our day, and to believe that? But he says that knowing that the only way to the Father, the only way to become a Christian, is not going to church, not just reading your Bible, not just saying your prayers, not doing a good deed. It's only through one gate, one door, and that is Jesus. He makes that's incredible. That's so not today, isn't it? When we think about, surely there's many ways. God, Jesus, made that one big statement. He also says this. He says, being the gatekeeper, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you know, he knows you by name? We sung earlier, "My name is graven on his hands and is written in my heart." I heard the other day that a man named Dale Carnley, who's an author and speaker from the last century, in 1959, he did an interview with a man called Jim Farley. Ever heard of Jim Farley? He is a strategic, managerial, high-powered guy who actually managed the campaign for Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt. And they did an interview. Dale did an interview with Jim, being a very, very successful man, and said to him, "What makes you so successful in all that you did?" So he turned the question around and says, "Well, what do you think made me successful?" And Dale said, "Well, I've heard that you can remember 10,000 names." And he said, "No, you're wrong." He says, "I can remember 50,000 names and the facts about each and every one of them as well." And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And he had this skill that he obviously passed on to President Roosevelt, and it was Roosevelt who wrote hundreds of letters to people, one-to-one conversations, often followed up by a personal letter with them that helped him to win the election for him. Do you know, there's nothing more important, there's nothing better than the pleasure of being known by your name. Doesn't that make you feel good when they remember your name? The mayor of Dover, Scott Myers, I met last summer, I remember, we were just talking away with the Chamber of Commerce, and I just said, "Oh, and one of my daughters is going to be flying off to Missouri and having a good time, her name's Bethany," and thought nothing of it. 4 months later, I met him at the Kachiko Arts Festival. He said, "So how is Bethany? Did she enjoy her time in Missouri?" I thought, "Huh? How did you remember that?" It made me feel good, though. I thought, I mean something to you. It's really, 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 really powerful. There's nothing more important than being known. Listen, Jesus knows you by name. That blesses me. Jesus knows you. It's not as though as a community we're just a faceless, nameless people community, and kind of we all just go together and all just go out together. Jesus knows you by name. There's nothing more important. He knows us very, very well. Who's good at remembering names? Beryl is, yes. Beryl's very good at remembering names. And so Dave Zealy is very good at remembering names too. And I have to work at it. It's not a skill set that, you know, I have to work at it. But it's good to know that Jesus knows our name. We're coming to this flock. All right, a couple of things I want to share essential to building a strong community. First thing is this, bodybuilders. Bodybuilders. The Spaldings were in our house the other day. and Josh was trying to impress me by doing some bodybuilding. All I could see was a very pink face. No, Ashley, I know he's been working out. And it's hard work. It's hard work to build community. Do you know that? It's not as though, you know, we just make friends easy. It doesn't. We're very different. It's hard work. Jesus said this. He says, "I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." True, authentic community takes personal sacrifice. It's hard work. Now, just look around you to tell me why it's not hard work, all right? Just look around. Just look how different we are. Different personalities, different backgrounds, different jobs, just completely different. It's only in God's wisdom can we do these things that work. And it blesses me to see it Sunday by Sunday, seeing us thinking, how does it work? How do we get on? It's just amazing. I can't think of any other place regularly, week by week, that there's a gathering of young and old coming together from all backgrounds, and we're here together worshiping God. I can't think of another setting. I mean, I know you get concerts and things like that, but I'm talking about over years, one day a week, that we're doing that. It's the wisdom of God. It's something that God has done. Now, there's a survey out there, apparently, that 87% of Americans think they could have a fulfilled Christian life by being on their own. I don't think so. Do you? What kind of God are you worshiping? That's what I want to ask. And what book are you reading as well? See, I think individualism is so strong, isn't it? Me, I can do it. Me and God. We can take on the world. But actually, we need one another. It's important that we see that in ourselves. Very rarely does the Bible speak about growth as an individual process. It talks about us being together. Actually, a third of the New Testament is about practical instruction of how we work out relationships within the local church. It says things like speaking the truth in love, accepting one another because Christ accepted us. It's talked about putting off falsehood, get rid of all bitterness. It doesn't say you can't be bitter, just get rid of it. You know, we are human at the same time in all of this. Work hard at making peace with one another. Bear each other, forgive one another, whatever grievances you may have. All these things. So we're human and could be misunderstood every single day. But if we put what the Bible says into action, we can do these things by faith and build a stronger community through it as well. People would say, I've got a strong faith. I have faith in God and I can work out things. That means nothing to me until that faith is tested. Is that true? We all say, yeah, I'm a strong Christian. Have you ever prayed the prayer, dear God, make me stronger as a Christian. I want to grow for you. Anybody prayed that? Now, be honest. Has not God answered that prayer by bringing your worst nightmare to you? Yeah? You think that person is getting right up my nose. But praise the Lord! You think God hasn't answered your prayer. He says, I want someone I can get on with. Well, then says, well, you want to grow. That's what I heard yesterday. So now I'm going to send someone to your workplace. You think, not him, not her. But actually, that's what God does. Because we need one another. Iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens the other. We need one another. It's important. Holding on to bitterness is one of the most easiest things to do. To forgive is one of the most hardest things to do. Isn't it? Oh, of course I forgive people. Until it happens to you. Oh, that's not fair. He owes me one. I was not listened to. Or whatever it may be. Okay? But the real issue with that is that who is really in the end losing out? When you're the one that's hurt. Community is hard work. We need to build. We need one another. There's no way you can grow without the person sitting next to you. Why don't you just say that to one another very quickly? Go on, just say it. There's no way I can grow without you sitting next to me. You need one another. There's no way around it. Okay, next thing is this. Born identity. Born identity. You have a new identity. Anybody watch Born Identity? What's his name? I can't remember. Jason Bourne. That's it. Jason Bourne. All right. Oh, Matt Damon. Yeah, whoever you want to call him. Okay. So if you've seen the movie, he is a highly trained guy by the US government to be a highly trained professional assassin. But with all the time he's been trained, he's been given a new identity. And so he's got about 20 different names. I remember the story with all the passports, isn't he? Who am I? Am I a Czech? You know, am I from England? Am I from Czechoslovakia? Or am I from Italy? I don't know. But the whole thing of that story is he's trying to find out who he truly is, isn't he? Now, we have a new identity. We were singing it this morning. I love it. We are a new creation. Let me say that again because it's so easy to say. We are a new creation. We've been born again by the Spirit. We have a new identity and a new security of who we are. Identity of who we are, security of where we belong. And although we are our flesh and we make mistakes and we're going to mess up at times, essentially we are like Jesus. And that means this, is that we don't have to hold on what we used to be like in order to try and work out relationships. You know, we can still we all get these things, and all the temptation comes, why is that person getting that promotion and not me? Or try to impress people when you're trying to get to know people for the first time. All those things, they all come in, but essentially, hold a minute, I can be secure in Jesus. I just like, we did the Alpha course this week, and we talked about why did Jesus die? I was saying to them, there will be no good news of celebrating next week if Jesus didn't rose again from the dead. Because that's the power. That's the power part. That's the point where he's saying, hold on a minute, sin is no longer my master in me. I might sin, but it's not going to be a master of me anymore. So the way I used to think is not how I think anymore. Why? Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is now working in me. I have the power of the Holy Spirit that changes me. It's not just mind over matter stuff. It's not just, I hope I do a better job. It's what God's done inside you. It's the Holy Spirit that is in us. And so therefore, our new identity is very, very important. The challenge here is this. Where's my Bible? The challenge is, it was two challenges. One is to read it. The biggest challenge is to apply it. It's to practice it. It's to say, because the devil believes in it. The devil believes in the Bible, but the devil doesn't practice what the Bible says. The challenge is, hold on a minute. You see, God does threaten us. God threatens your security just to make sure who are you secure in. You always do that. He'll always rub up against you to do those things. It's when we get the Bible and we say, hold on a minute. This has great authority. Do you remember Steve Van Rain a couple of years ago at our camp? He got the Bible and put it on his head, didn't he? And he says, I can't do this South African accent, I won't even try. But he says, this has great authority over us. I do what the Bible says. And that's what we need to do, our identity. It will be threatened. There might be people, because the devil can easily sneak up in a crowded room and he would say this to you. They're talking about you. They don't like you. And you don't like them, do you? See, the devil's always accusing. He never gives up, day and night, 24/7. But when I got this, I said, well, the Bible says that I am loved and I'm secure in him. And I don't have to prove myself in any way. That's what I'm going to put my identity in. So what makes a strong community is to say, well, who am I in Christ? Who am I and where do I belong now? That's really, really key. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and behold, the new has come. If you're a Christian this morning, you're a new creation. You don't carry on the way that you were. By the power of the gospel, the good news, we keep changing to be more like Jesus. All right, another one is this. Band of brothers. Band of brothers. It says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. The band of brothers. Have you seen that series, The Band of Brothers? I saw it over Christmas, and I think it's fantastic. Who loves that? It's every man's thing, isn't it? You just want to be out there with them, don't you? No, okay. Yeah, I understand why you said that. No, I really would stay at home. If you're not familiar with it, ladies... Who's watched it? Ladies, who's watched it? Okay, see? Yeah, you're one of them, aren't you? Yeah. It's a story about Easy Company, the U.S. Army, the 101st Airborne Division, and the missions they had for the Second World War. There's about, I don't know, about 12 episodes, 15 episodes. Very real. Lots of people involved. Sorry? How many? 10. Thank you for, I don't know how many, I just guessed then. But what I do know was is that at the beginning at the very beginning of each episode, they actually had an interview with the men that really were part of this 101st Division. And they talked about some of their experiences and what it meant to be fighting on this in the war in Europe and being on part of these missions as they were together. And some of the things they said were this, often with tears in their eyes as they look back. They said things like this: they were my brothers. We had an unusual bond together. They were the heroes, not me. I can trust them with my life. They were my family. I would give anything for them. They are my flesh and blood. And they talked about their stories. One was as a grandson came up to Grandpa and said, "Hey, Dad, he says, were you a hero? Were you a hero when you went to war?" And he said, "No." He says, "Only those in my company and only those who are buried on the other side of the ocean. They were the heroes." And there was a great sense, you're watching these things, of comradeship. Community, the band of brothers together, community in itself is not our means. If there's not a cause in our community, then the community would look inward. Our goal is not to be the best of friends in community. Our goal is to keep reaching out so others can join this community as well. Was it Bob brought about the people in a circle, Jesus in the middle, and we're looking inward, and yet we're going through the center, we see Jesus, and we go out there into community. Or what Sarah shared about Jesus sending the 12 full of the Spirit. There was a, our goal as a Christian community is to do the Great Commission, to go out into all the world. If we don't do that, then we will become something of just looking to ourselves. It's very, very important. There's a community. We are on the Great Commission. We have our orders to go into the world to befriend sinners, befriend people that we might not find are easy to get on with. And that brings me to my last point is this. What helps us be a strong community is beloved. Loved by God. Loved by God. Jesus says this, "For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Can we just put up that photo again, Joe, of this house. This is where I grew up. This is where I actually first became a Christian. This is, actually was a house before that, but it wasn't long before I moved here. Let me tell you about, this is where, in one of these rooms is where David died. In this room, this window through here, is two momentous moments happened in my life through those windows. And it's all got to do with my dad. It only occurred to me more clearly how grateful I am that I'm loved by God. Because this week, we're doing the marriage course with the Action Track, and it's fantastic. John and Cindy, you are brilliant. Thank you for putting it on. It's excellent. And there's a section on here that we went through a couple of weeks ago about family, impact of the family, past and present. And as I'm going through it, they ask for, when you were brought up in your family, could you check the boxes, what you thought was good about your family? And as I was going through it, I thought, I can't check these boxes. Particularly my dad was just a kind of a character on his own, but when I couldn't check the box praised as a child. No, I would never was once praised. Comforted when you're upset. Never once did I have a hug or anything like that. Admit their mistakes and apologize when necessary. Never did he do that. I don't know. Showing you physical affection. Nothing like that at all. Actually, there was 20 questions on that, And I honestly could not check. I could only check two of them out of the 20. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a mess, you know, my dad was in, but also my life was in. When I become a Christian, I was a very bitter person towards my dad. He owed me a childhood I never had. When I first become a Christian, I knew I had to forgive him. So after about 2 weeks, churning it in my mind, how am I going to do it? As a 19-year-old, I didn't know how to do it. I just said it to him. And it was in that room, who was across the sofa, drunk, as he often was. And I went up the room, and I said, on that sofa, I said, Dad, so I want you to know I love you and I forgive you. Because he knew he was guilty. He knew he was guilty. And he just grunted at me. And that was it. But I knew something was released in me. I could walk free. A couple of years later, my dad came back from Hong Kong. He had to do the funeral arrangements for his mum, and he came back with a very sore throat. And it got bad to worse in the fact he couldn't swallow any food. He went to the doctors, and he had cancer. The cancer was secondary cancer to his livers as well. The doctor said, you've got about 4 months to live. And actually, he did. He was under 4 months. In that room, when he came out of the hospice, he wanted to die at home. He was laying on that sofa again. And he didn't have long to live. And I remember the very last words I said to my dad, and I knew he had about no more than 24 hours. I just said in Chinese, "Inoche ne," which means I love you, that he responded semi-consciously by tapping with his hand on the bed, on the sofa. That's the last thing I said to him the next day he died. They were two momentous moments. Those two things that happened, I could not have done if I knew I wasn't loved by God. See what I mean? That's what God does. And it says here, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear's got something to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect, but we love because he first loved us. Because I've received love, because you have received love, if you know who you are in Christ, you can give out love. And that says everything of what you can do, of reaching out in community. So if I understand what God's done, and he loves me so much, there was three things, I won't tell you them, but there's moments in my life when I knew I was loved by God. And I experienced it in a genuine and real way. And it brought me to my knees, and I was crying. Now, as a teenager, you don't normally do that. But I thought, I've met God. And those first few years as a Christian, it's not all about trying to explain the Trinity or even mission or anything like that. The key thing that God was banging in my head was this one thing. I love you, Simon. I love you, Simon. I'm your father in heaven. And there's pictures I remember people saying to me, building blocks of the fatherhood of God are coming into you. And it's got to be a solid foundation of what you'll be doing in your Christian life. If you know you're loved, it's much easier to give that love away to someone else. That's what builds a real, genuine community. He's given us so much. If we understand the words that we sing, we know they aren't just words. They're life. They breathe in you. They've done everything to give my life back to God. He's so good, isn't he? I was blessed the other day. John Piper sent a little Twitter, and what did he say? I can't remember it. Yes, I do. He said this: God's love is better than being alive. Psalm 63, verse 3. I just thought about that. I thought, yes, it is. God's love for us is better than being alive. His steadfast love is better than life itself. Do you know that love? Do you know that deep down? Have you experienced that? Let's stand, shall we? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're not about here, about a mechanical thing or trying to put together of being just playing at church. We thank you, Lord, that church goes beyond meetings. It goes beyond annual events. It goes beyond Monday mornings. Lord, we just thank you that that church is people, living stones, looking out for one another, loving one another in a genuine way, giving to one another, like we see in the book of Acts. Lord, we just thank you. That's genuine community. Lord, we also thank you that, Lord, none of this authentic community can really happen if it wasn't for you. It's only because of you. Thank you, we see there, right in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What perfect community. What a perfect example that we can follow. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Let's just quickly get our connect card, shall we? Let's just quickly pick them up. And with a pen in your hand, just for a moment, where do you feel God speaking to you? Do we know our identity in Him? Is the challenge is that I don't, because I'm not too sure if I know my Bible very well. The Connect card is very useful as well if you're a first time here or a second time here, or you want to know more about being a Christian. We're running an Alpha course right now. Perhaps you want to go on that. You're thinking, I want to know more about this God of love. Show me that He's a God of love. How can I experience Him? Then just check that box. And we'll talk to you sometime during the week. The purpose here is that we can serve you. The purpose here is that hopefully we can point you towards a person who knows your name. Let's just fill that in right now. And let's do our tithes and offerings as well. Thanks, Andy. Run those through the rows, and we'll finish in a moment. Let's just see what God wants to do. Thank you, God. That's great. Let's just close our eyes, just for the last minute we have together. Lord, I just want to pray. Lord, I want to ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that people would genuinely experience God's love. Lord, we thank you that when you ask us, you're not asking for perfect people. It's not as though you're asking for us to have, it's been a perfect day for us. But you're asking for those who are just thirsty and hungry, and by faith will receive. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that today, this week, next month, that people would experience a genuine sealing of the Spirit of being loved by God. And that, Lord, it wouldn't be just the head knowledge. It wouldn't be that's what I've been taught at Sunday school when I was a kid. But it would be a heartfelt thing, an experience as the Holy Spirit's coming upon them. Lord, I ask you to do that, Lord, with myself, my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I pray for a genuine pouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I just as I'm just looking out to Lorraine and Wayne out there, Lord, I just pray for Nate Blanchard, Lord, who just Skyped me yesterday, who's flying out to Afghanistan today. I pray that he may know a deep understanding and a deep knowledge of the love of God as he serves his country. And Lord, who's very quick to wanting prayer over the Skype before he goes. Lord, bless that young man. Thank you, Lord, that young man's been changed because of this community. Lord, bless him and encourage him. I pray he finds more Christians, Lord, out there with his missions, Lord, and that you'll encourage him and do him good. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, keep revealing yourself. Thank you, Lord. We've been forgiven much that we can tell this good news to others. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you wish prayer, I'll be here at the front, and I'd love to pray with you. If you want to know more about Jesus, then come now. I would love to pray with you and tell him more about him. Otherwise, God bless you, and enjoy your day.